Appreciate you coming out tonight. Sickness. Sickness has always been with us. People suffering from cancer or heart disease, liver disease, HIV, you just name, get a laundry list, and there's a disease for it. And we go to doctors, we do things to keep ourselves healthy. I don't know how many of you have worked at places that have the wellness program, or as I call it, the monthly, let's make you feel guilty about everything you do call. And one day the lady, well, several times the lady got me so irritated, I said, do you plan to do anything about this? No. And they still give you wellness points and take $50 off of your health insurance, which I think is funny. And we still get sick, though, no matter what we do. You know, you see a healthy man, a healthy woman who maybe he or she runs 1,000 miles a day. I don't know if you, would your legs be able to stand that, if you could run 1,000 miles a day? You do everything right. You eat every food that's good for you and tastes like sawdust. And no matter what you do to separate yourself from happiness in this life, you're still going to die. No matter what we do, we still are going to get sick. And faith is a big factor in life. And it is a big factor in being healed in other ways. And one woman's healing will show us what faith can do. Turn with me to Luke, the 8th chapter. We're going to talk about an issue of blood. In Luke 8, and in verse 26, it talks a bit about the legion. And it says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many demons or devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into this deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that had fed them saw that was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Jesus drives out the legion, the many demons inside this man. And it's a great miracle, and it gets lots of attention. Wouldn't that get your attention if you had someone who was acting like that? Someone who had this awful, awful condition, no one could control, then all of a sudden he's of his right mind. And you can talk to him, and he's not a danger. So in verse 37, we see that everybody's waiting for him. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now, not everyone was happy, because if you have a herd of pigs and Jesus just let the devils go into the pigs and they run off and they drown, you might not care for them so much. And so the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. He gets a lot of attention doing this, and everybody's waiting for him. And Jesus gets a request. Verse 41, behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. You know, this man comes up and says, please help my daughter. You know, only daughter, don't know if it's the only child, but it's the only girl. And this is obviously, as all parents who love their children, you don't want any of them to die. And she's a young girl to boot. He says, come help my daughter. So he's going to go see the daughter. He's walking to see the daughter. And what happens? Well, the people throng him. They all want to touch him. They all want to see him, get close to him. And he goes on and somebody touches him. Verse 43 of Luke 8. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, who had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? But Jesus has been touched. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. The touch of faith. She just touches the hem of his garment. Now, if you have a garment and they touch the piece of clothing, you're not necessarily going to feel that. But he feels something that none of us can feel. Power, virtue, healing. He feels it coming out of him. Is it a physical healing? Yes, indeed. She was physically healed of this issue of blood. I don't know if it was hemophilia or some slow bleeder inside her that was causing trouble. We don't know much except doctors weren't very good at helping her. In fact, it sounds like they made her worse. But they gladly took her money. In other words, how little doctors have changed from then to now. And it's an act of faith to believe that merely touching his clothing could heal her. And she does something that she confesses. Almost one of guilt. But it shows the crowd the mighty power of a faith that a mere touch of someone's garment could heal her. And she testified more than any sermon could have ever testified to these people. And if we are just, we'll be living by faith. In the Old Testament, in Habakkuk, quoted in the New Testament, but Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, it reads, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee? and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them. Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood and for the violence of the land and of the city and of all that dwell therein. We'll be living that way if we are just. We're going to have faith. If we aren't just in our actions and thoughts, we're not going to be living by faith. We'll be doing as we please. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You're either going to believe it or you're not. This morning in the morning lesson and out here in the auditorium in the adult class, we discussed the unjust steward, the parable of the fellow who was dishonest, and he was going to be fired from his job, and he decides, I'm going to tell all the people who owe money or owe something to my masters about to fire me, I'll just cut your debts down, and then when I am put out of my stewardship, I'll have somewhere to go because they're so happy with me. I've saved them all this money by unjust means. I'll get a place to live, and I'll get four hots in the cot. Well, three hots in the cot. If you're eating four hots in the cot, you might need Weight Watchers, folks. But, you know, what I'll tell you is man lives by their own way. Or he lives by God's. You don't do both. Romans 1 and 15, it says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but rather were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We see these people. They say, I'm smart, just like that unjust steward. And, you know, it talks about how the master kind of in a backhanded way commends his servant for making arrangements. Okay, you were very, very clever. But he's still going to lose all the things that he could have gotten righteously. And had he just been an honest steward, he wouldn't have had to be put in that situation. Of course, it's a parable. It's talking about God talking to mankind, saying, you have not served me well. You're going to be put out of my reward. And so you go to man's ways and saying, okay, I'll go to man's ways and that will suit me and I'll be okay. Never knowing that you're still going to lose everything. Because you don't fool God. God can say, well, aren't you the clever one? But it only lasts for so long. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and in verse 35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, faith is the first step to salvation. To believe. You know, if I tell you you ought to be baptized, but you don't believe in God, what good does it do? You might as well throw Mr. Bubble into the baptistry. At least you'll be clean on the outside because you're going to be just as dirty inside. Because faith is what takes that away. You know, Hebrews 11, what is faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And, of course, Hebrews 11 is that great faith chapter, and it gives examples of faith. You know, Noah and Abraham, we have, you know, Sarah, we have all these great men. It talks about Esau and Isaac and Jacob, Moses. You know, it also refers to the harlot Rahab, and talks about of the prophets and the judges. And it says in verse 32, and what more shall I more say? For the time would fail me to, this is in Hebrews 11 if I haven't said that, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, he who believeth and is baptized should be saved. We quote in Mark 16:16. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Belief, faith, believing in something that you do not see, that you cannot prove by any substantial or tangible or temporal ways. A lot of people want to say, well, show me God. They saw God. They saw Jesus. What happened? Some believed. A whole lot didn't. There are people today who still do not believe in Jesus. And they are not going to believe in Jesus if they saw him come up and raise the dead. They will not believe him if he could bring in all the legions of angels. They still will have that hard heart. But we all need healing. Psalm 147:1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praises come late. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds, he telleth the number of their stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. He heals the brokenhearted. And do we realize that? Luke, the 4th chapter and verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. There went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And who are they? Who are out there? Who's brokenhearted? The spiritual mission of Jesus, to heal the brokenhearted, but also to bring people comfort. How brokenhearted would we all be if we knew our loved ones were lost forever who died in the Lord? We know that's not so, that there is hope for them and hope for us. You know, we talk about the tree of life in the end of Revelation, in Revelation 22 and 1. For those of you who have your Bible, it's at the end of the Bible. In Revelation 22 and verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. For the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." And also, we see in chapter 21, just a few verses up in verse 22, it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." There are nations of those who are saved. The healing of the nations. The saved ones are healed spiritually of their sins. While it would be nice if we could be healed of our physical diseases and our infirmities, it's better to be rid of our soul's diseases. We've all had physical ailments at one time or another at certain levels. And some of it's just because of old age. Luke 5 and 27, "And after these things, Jesus went forth and saw a publican named Levi," also known as Matthew, "sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, Mr. Pharisee, Mr. Scribe, if you think you're without sin, congratulations. That's what he's saying, you know. You don't need a doctor. You ever go to a doctor's office when you were healthy? Yeah, usually to be given the annual checkup or go tell the doctor why you need those samples of the medication. And everyone's, I remember that in Ukraine when the doctor's office, the waiting room was a hallway and it was busy and you know what, everybody was sick in there. And I'm like, where do I hide? Well, I couldn't hide because we had something, you know, she needed, the kid needed to be inspected and, well, not, I hope not infected, but, you know, what we're saying is you go in there and you're healthy. You're afraid of getting sick. And some of these doctors, I think if I was to go in there sick, I might walk out of there dead. Some of the doctors. I remember going to the health center at ISU, and for a sickness, and the doctor that treated me was chain smoking. There's nothing like feeling healthy and being in that environment. Do we walk up to people and say, you need to be healthy, while we're showing that we are about as unhealthy as they can be? Are you healed this day? You see, if your soul is sick, you need to heal it. You need to make it better. But it's not the same as a physical disease. You go to the doctor, you treat the illness, you take the medication. Maybe you take a shot. The medications that we're talking about are those that heal the soul. You know, you hear the word. You know, when you hear the word, you know, in Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's kind of like when you get a pain in your side, or you wake up with a 105 fever. You're hearing the word. I'm sick. And someone tells you, your soul is sick, then you have to say, well, do I believe it or not? Sheila will attest that I'm very bad about getting up with a high fever. And I remember one morning getting up, taking a shower, getting dressed, and getting ready to go to work. And she said, why are you going to work? Because it is 7:30 and I have to be there by 8. I dragged myself to work. I refused to believe that I was sick enough to stay home. And I worked that whole day and came home, and I had to admit I was too sick to work. I didn't listen to my wife. I know that never happens, right? I didn't listen to my body. I didn't listen to my own common sense. Because I didn't believe it enough, or I was too stubborn to say that I was sick. But once you've heard that you're sick, hearing the word of God that says you're sick, do you believe it? Mark 16:16, as we said, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In other words, if I let the fever go, it might become something worse and I might be dead. I just self-medicate. You know, and then I say, well, maybe I shouldn't do the things that make me sick. You know, Acts 2:38, you know, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, you sit down and say, well, you know what? I'm sick. Maybe I ought to change the ways that have made me sick. Maybe I should wash my hands in the bathroom. Maybe I shouldn't shake someone's hand who's hacking and coughing. Maybe I should get enough sleep and eat right. And the cardboard food is not eating right, folks. Eat delicious food. You know, lard's good for you. Don't listen to anybody. Moderation. And then you have to confess. In other words, you have to admit that you're sick and that there is a way to cure it. In this case, it's, you know, Romans 10:9, and verse 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, what did we just say in Acts 2? to be baptized. You know, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. To receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. To be baptized, in other words, taking the medication and taking it correctly. I got this medication that says you can't take it, but you have to take it before you eat breakfast. So I have to get up, pop this pill, take this other medication, and wait. Then eat breakfast, and then take the rest of the medications, so I can be healthy. All it's doing is making me get up early and watch the news. And once you're baptized, then you do those things, be faithful unto death. In other words, do those things that so you won't get sick again. You know, Revelation 2 and 10, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And that's how you're healed of your sins. That's how you're healed of your soul's diseases. Like that woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, saying, oh, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. The faith saved her from the issue of blood. You know, faith has nothing to do with taking pills for triglycerides and for, the doctor called it pre-diabetes, but now, you know, somewhere along the line he took that pre off and started giving me more pills to take. And I take something else for other maladies, and I will not disturb the congregation by talking about that. I won't. At least not this sermon. But that's how we are healed of our soul's diseases. You know what? Like I said, I could run and I could get my blood sugar regulated, and maybe they'll take the medications away from me for that. But I was told the triglycerides, they couldn't figure out why my triglycerides were so high, but my cholesterol was great. I told that to my mother, and she goes, well, I have high triglycerides, and I'm not heavy. Your grandmother had high triglycerides, and so does your uncle. Guess what? You drew the short end of the stick genetically. Thank you. And you know what? Except for my mother and father, all of my ancestors before them are all dead. And you know what? Mom's not looking so good. Dad's starting to slow down. You know what? In 10 years, there's a good chance that I'm the only one left alive. And everybody else before me has passed on. I know there's a lot of people in here who have had that happen. I hear death runs in families. We can't cure our body's diseases forever. We can take away, you know, we can knock out the infections, but you know what? Even then, one day you're going to be old and frail, and the powerful antibiotics may not cure that infection. And it goes septic and you die. Doesn't that sound wonderful? We don't want to live forever here, folks. We need to be immortal in a place where there is no more sorrow, no more tears. And that's our lesson. Have you been healed tonight? Have you a desire to do so? I can't lay hands on you and take away your cancer. I can't lay hands on you and take away your high blood pressure or diabetes or whatever you got or whatever you don't got. But God can take away your sins. That's our lesson. If the invitation applies to you in any fashion, please come forward and make your wants known while we stand and sing.